Hey guys, welcome to episode 7 of Gamer Heroes. I am Derek, one of your hosts, and I have my returning host with me, John. John, you want to say hi?
How's it going, and welcome back? That's
good.
It.
Good to talk with you. Good to see. I don't see you. We don't have webcams, but...
You know what? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you guys are still here.
Well, so who's the other guy? So we actually have a slight change in the roster. Unfortunately, David's not able to join us anymore. He's got some family obligations, and family comes first. So we have brought on an old friend of mine, Zach. So, Zach, you want to say hi?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So for those who don't know, Zach and I did a short 7-episode podcast series like a year and a half ago. So we've done a little bit of this before, but Zach's decided that he likes video games. So
just yesterday, right?
Just yesterday.
I've got a lot of catching up to do. What are these video game things?
So Zach, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, about your video game history, what you're into, that kind of thing.
I played some Nintendo, Super Nintendo at friends' houses, but the first console that I ever owned in my family was the PS1. Played a lot of Crash Bandicoot on the PS1 and PS2 and all of that. Had an original Game Boy, got quite a bit of use out of as well. I played a lot of video games in college. I'm an adult now. Not that I wasn't an adult in college.
No,
I guess,
you never really grow up. Quit lying.
Right? Yeah. Growing up is a lie, and it's a trap. but with kids and adult responsibilities, my time for gaming is different than it was before. But yeah, no, I still game. So here I am.
So what, so people know that I'm kind of the Nintendo guy, I'm a nut for Nintendo, but, and John's kind of the PS4 guy. What do you have at home that you play on, you know, regularly?
That's a good question. I play a lot on my 3DS, really excited for the Switch, like I think all of us are. I play a lot on my 3DS because when I'm hanging out with my kids and they want to watch the same mindless, awful cartoons over and over again, I can play on my 3DS. I play Pokemon. I like the turn-based RPGs. I guess consoles in my home. I have my 3DS and I have my Xbox One, which it kind of gets used more for Netflix and Pandora lately, but I use it to play games an awful lot. I am kind of borderline obsessed with the BioShock franchise. I like Ken Levine an awful lot, and the BioShock games are a personal favorite of mine, as well as the Half-Life games. Completely different genre, but yeah. So
we have a bit of a running joke because John
beat me to it.
John built a top of the line high-end gaming machine and just really wants to stretch the graphics on Half-Life 2.
It's a gorgeous game.
See? Thank you.
But it's
right?
A 10-year-old game,
it
man.
It holds up.
It does. It really does hold up.
It's not a quality issue. It's more of just, I don't think Half-Life 2 is going to push your machine. That's all I meant, you know?
I mean, if it's a really old machine, it might push it.
Push it till its death.
They
did release some sort of, it was barely DLC, but they released like a little mini episode a number of years ago for Half-Life 2. Maybe John remembers what it was called, but it was really just to kind of showcase the graphic capabilities that Valve had been working on. And the water, the big selling point was the water looked really, really real, at least for the time. This was at least, I don't know, at least 8 years ago.
Water's tough to do. So, I remember, you know, when it was being talked about, you know, 4K gaming and HDR gaming, the scenery was the big showcase. It was showing forests and oceans and, you know, the detail that way.
Leaves, man. It's no longer just blobs or flat trees. It's three-dimensional trees. But
with individual leaves.
Dude, I want to segue. Let's segue into mobile gaming. I'm sorry. We can talk about leaves all day.
We can talk about leaves all day. All right, so let's
talk about gaming leaves all day and lose all of our listeners.
Yes, so we're going to jump into the news portion, mobile gaming. What's going on, guys?
Zach, come on, let's get your feet wet. Let's pop that cherry.
I mean, there's some Pokemon Go news, and I know that you play Pokemon Go, so...
I do. Kind of half-assed play it, but yeah, I should play it. Yeah, I mean, I am excited about the Pokemon Go. I mean, it's been nice to catch new Pokemon. Like, the new Pokemon have been rarer and rarer. I mean, I didn't catch all of the originals by any means, but yeah, it's been fun. It's interesting. I'm level like 22, but having new Pokemon show up in my neighborhood is pretty fun. Seeing some new evolutions, that's a good time.
Yeah, I mean, the Gen 2 has really gotten me back into it. Before Gen 2, my Pokédex was at, I think, 105, and I'm almost to 140 now after Gen 2 came out. So
Nice.
You know, it's exciting again, and we have an event coming up. So Pokemon Day is, of course, the anniversary for Pokemon. Last year was the big 20th anniversary, so they had monthly stuff. But this time, starting on the 26th, which I guess is Sunday, and going through March 6th, is the Pikachu party for Pokemon's 21st birthday. And so you can catch a Pikachu with a party hat, which I know is something we all have desperately wanted.
I didn't know that I wanted it this badly, but now I have to have it.
You know, I don't think it's as cool as the Santa Pikachu, personally. It's true.
I still have my Santa Pikachu. I mean, it's worthless, but I've got it.
Pikachu's already a pain in the ass to try to catch for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I still don't have enough to get a Raichu, right? So I'm still trying to find some. I got a few during the Christmas event because they were pushing that. I was able to get some, but still not enough.
Well, and you used to be able to get him at the Nelson Atkins lawn, but the last few times that I've gone, there weren't any, so.
Yeah, so for those who are listening who may not know us personally, we are in Kansas City, and that's our art museum, so we are Midwestern folk, I suppose.
But still classy. In a desolate desert of no Pikachus.
No Pikachus.
If you're listening and you have Pikachus, please send them.
We'll do UPS. We'll do all of that. Now that's the actually, speaking of that, me and Derek we kind of talk about this all the time. Zach, is I think lots of missed opportunities in Pokemon Go and trading. Why can't we trade? I know it's on the slate, but it's just like talking about trading Pikachus. Why can't we do it?
I mean, yeah, trading is such a staple of the Pokemon franchise in general. Trading with your friends on the game, trading the cards. I never played the card game, but I mean, a lot of people I knew grew up with like were trading cards all the time. Like that was a big deal. And yeah, it's a missed opportunity. That, and I feel like we're missing out on the battling. Like, I mean, yeah, we've got the gym battles, but I would rather, like, if I'm hanging out at Derek's house, I want to pull out Pokemon Go and battle him and see what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Those are two massive features. Yeah, and there's no social aspect at all. We have gamer tags and we have avatars that we can now pay to customize, but who sees them?
Right, just us. We don't interact with other avatars. I mean, my brother lives in Washington, and on Pokemon Sun and Moon earlier this week, like, we were battling each other, and that was cool through the internet. But like, I feel like Pokemon Go should be able to implement that pretty easily.
No, I totally agree. Being able to see where other players are might be a cool feature to turn on. But even little stuff, when they added the buddy system, the fact that you can't see your buddy walking with you on the map is another missed opportunity.
Right. That made me sad, yeah.
I think the buddy thing was really cool. It's just, like you said, there was just some opportunities that they could have done a little better, you know?
Yep.
Thinking for the future.
This whole Pokemon Go in general, like, there was a lot of hype beforehand. I was really excited for it. And I had a lot of fun in that, like, first couple months that it came out, you know, when it wasn't crashing and when Pokemon weren't mysteriously vanishing. But yeah, like, I feel like this whole game has been kind of rushed and probably didn't get as much love and pre-development as it should have.
Yeah, Nintendo went, and I know that, you know, this is owned by the Pokemon Company and Niantic. I understand Nintendo only gets a little bit of it, but Nintendo really did a 180 and went from, we do not support mobile gaming, to being all in. I mean, they now have three games, four actually if you count Pokemon Duel, four mobile games that came out in the last 7 months, and then they have even more on the slate coming.
So Super Mario Run, and then what's the fourth one?
Dragon Quest. Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's some cool stuff. So it's interesting that they've made that switch, but it's almost like they made that switch too quickly. Maybe it was their way of trying to make up some revenue before the Switch comes out, but, right. You know. But there are two other mobile games coming out that I do want to touch on, and the first one is Futurama Worlds of Tomorrow. So for those who know or not, yeah, right, good news. There's already a Futurama game out there. It's just, it's not that great. It's one of those like Candy Crush style games.
Yeah, we're talking about it.
This is totally different, though. This has the original creators on board. Matt Groening is on board. The writers and the original voice cast, for the most part, are on board with this game with brand new stories. So you can actually pre-register right now by either on Google Play. You can pre-register on Google Play if you're Android, or if you're not, you can go to youwillplayfuturama.com and pre-register.
Oh, I will.
So you'll get a notification. I already did that. I cannot wait. Futurama is hands down one of my favorite shows of all time. Every time it's gotten canceled, which is like six times, it makes me sad. So I'm
but it comes back. Excited.
And it's it does. Good. It always comes back. you can't kill it.
I'm excited for the new stories, particularly. You know, I feel like there's still so much more to know about the characters. Like, I think I love the way they ended it. It was beautiful. But I still want more Fry and Leela. It's all we get.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. I'm curious to see when it takes place, you know, if it's, you know, right after the finale where the, you know, the clock resets and they're together, you know, or what have you. But, you know, so that's cool. And then another franchise that's not coming back from the dead because it's quite popular anyway is Power Rangers Legacy Wars. So, I don't know. Anybody want to talk about that one?
Yeah, I'll dive into it. The one thing that really kind of drew me in is it looks like a pretty intuitive fighter. It actually looks pretty fun. There's some power-ups in there. Like you said, they're kind of revamping. They're bringing Power Rangers back, but they're also putting in... I don't know if you guys ever played those Marvel Wars games or Marvel Heroes games on mobile.
A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, they're fun to a certain extent. But I think this is Power Rangers is probably the one that makes the most sense for that type of game. So I think it looks cool. Do you know what the price tag they put on it yet? Or is it free?
No, I assume it's free to play.
I mean, everything these days is free to play, or rather free to start. And then if you want the real game or if you want more add-ons, you got to pay.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, they didn't really announce it. All they really told us is that it's going to include all of the Pokemon, all of the Power Ranger generations, which is really cool because I mean I'm a big fan of the classics, and it's also going to include the new movie characters as well. So,
which may or may not be a good thing. I mean, based on like reactions to the trailers and the merchandise, there's a lot of hatred on that movie already.
I don't know why.
Yeah, it remains to be seen.
I personally like it. I mean, I personally like it, but I mean, haters gonna hate, and I just want to see Power Rangers, so I don't really care. It looks more adult, and they actually explained why they can do amazing things, why they have powers. So right. I think that's a little bit better. But
yeah. I mean, we'll see. we'll see how it goes. You know, it's comes out in March, so only a few weeks away. So that's it for mobile, I think, right, guys?
Yep.
Yeah. So let's do, there's something real quick about Microsoft I want to point out, because it's Halo news, and I love Halo, and you don't get a lot of Halo news. So 343 Industries, who has been developing Halo since Bungie left the property, and so that really started with Halo 4. 343 Industries has announced that from now on, any core Halo games will bring back the split screen functionality for local co-op and local multiplayer. So,
I hate that they do that, that they even got rid of it.
I mean, they weren't the first ones to do it. They were probably the last ones to do it. There really aren't any split screen games left that I can think of.
Right.
Right. But Halo split screen was kind of a staple of that genre for a long time. Like, and I can't imagine that from a development standpoint that it takes that much effort to add that as a feature.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. I mean, if GoldenEye reinvented the first person shooter, Halo did it again. And you know, the LAN parties back in the day were something that I really miss.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
And when they, you know, when they took away the local co-op was really frustrating, because what was the reason? You know, there were some explanations about hardware being able to produce the 1080p and the frame rate all at the same time.
Manpower as well.
You know, but
time. Yeah.
Well, but I don't. To Zach's point, I'm not sure how much development work it takes to allow split screen, since games have been doing that for 20 plus years.
Well, I'll give you an example.
Right. You know,
and we should actually do a whole podcast on an episode just on the dying breed of co-op, local co-op. But the game that I've been playing, Zach, have you played Uncharted?
No, I have not. I'm familiar with the franchise, but I've not played it.
You're missing out, number one.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, yeah. You're the whole time, just like in Last of Us, the whole time you're with somebody. You're with people. So it doesn't make sense why you wouldn't have a co-op. So Uncharted 3 kind of played with that idea, and they were like, well, we'll do local co-op, but as long as it's kind of online, so you could play local co-op online. Does that make sense?
Right, yeah.
Which, everyone had been asking the same questions. If you're with a character, you're drawn to a character, you depend on a character the entire game, why the hell wouldn't you just make it split screen?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Well, I think what we're seeing here is also like a change in technology and a change in like a sociology and like the way we play games. And for us, like, I mean, the three of us, we grew up in a generation where like if you wanted to play a game, you went over to your friend's house and you grabbed a second controller and you played there. Like we were of the generation that when we were kids, like having this online option was a wild fantasy at that point. And then technology changed very rapidly. And so now we're looking at a world where, like, heck, we're having this podcast from three different locations right now. We could be playing a game from three different locations right now. Like, one of us could be across the planet and it wouldn't make a difference. But there's something communal and fun about, you know, being in someone's home or their college dorm room and playing some Smash Brothers or some Mario Kart or whatever the case may be, and getting to actually interact with them, like, next to you, but also, you know, playing the game together too. Like, I mean, what we had as kids was like digital board games, and what we have now is a much more it's great that it brings people together from across the planet,
right?
But it's also a bit more isolating in the sense that, I mean, you could be playing with your next door neighbor and you don't actually interact with them, and so you are still very isolated.
Well, and to your point, Zach, the two games that you mentioned were Mario Kart and Smash Brothers, and those are Nintendo titles.
Yep.
And the Switch is trying to bring back that social aspect by having, you know, supporting up to 8 Switch WAN parties.
That's so cool.
I love that.
I'm so stoked. Yeah.
And I mean, that's great. It's, you know, I understand that we're not going to use LAN today because nobody wants to plug an Ethernet cable into their Switch tablet, but you know, because that's kind of silly. But, you know, we'll be able to, if we're on the same network, connect 8 Switches to each other and play Mario Kart and play, you know, ARMS, for example, or Splatoon, which will be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think that's a game. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. I think Nintendo's trying to bring that back. That's all. Yeah.
For sure. No, that I was just going to chime in on that. Like, Nintendo is revamping it, and I think that's a bold and a very good move, because a lot of games are dropping the split screen, and some of them are dropping online capabilities altogether, like Prey. And basically they're saying, we're focusing on the single campaign experience, and I respect that, but I also think it's a missed opportunity of revenue that, you know, could potentially come to you as a game developer. Like, for instance, there was a point in time where I was only purchasing games because I wanted to play with my friends, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right. So, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Losing that part. Sorry, go ahead, Zach.
Oh, no, you're fine. Like, I was agreeing with you because, like, I mean, gaming, like, Derek and I have been talking about the Switch for the last couple weeks, and we've been talking about Splatoon. And if I was just a dude who didn't know anybody else who was getting the Switch, I would say, fuck it, I'm not getting the Splatoon. Like, I don't care about playing some paintball first person or like third right. whatever person shooter, but like Derek's like, yeah, like I'm gonna try this demo out. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna try it out too. And I'm like, but like knowing actual people in real life who are gonna buy this game most likely and play it, like, yeah, of course I'm gonna buy it. Like they're gonna make. I mean, if they market it correctly, they can make money off this community aspect. Like, I'm not one who's gonna go out and buy Overwatch or you know, Team Fortress 2 back in the day, unless I know some people who are like, hey, like, we're going to be playing this game, like, buy it and you can play with us. Like, cool. Like, that's a really easy way for me to spend money mm-hmm. without thinking about it.
Definitely. No, that's 100%. Like, I'm totally with you. Like, Splatoon to me looks silly, but
oh, yeah.
It could be silly, so much fun with four people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is worth noting that Splatoon is the number two selling game on the Wii U.
Oh, shut up. He says that every time, Zach.
take it with a grain of salt, because there's only, you know, 13.4 million Wii Us that were sold. But it's number two to Mario Kart 8, and it's important. You know, it's a unique shooter. It is a kid-friendly shooter that's not all about blood and gore and guts. It's about, you know, map control and teamwork and things like that. So,
which right. is cool. It's really cool. I the teamwork aspect is great too, because I mean I was a big Left 4 Dead guy. Again, I love Valve, and I love the first one and the second one. I mean, I had some problems with, but all in all, I loved what they were going for with that teamwork aspect. And again, like, I didn't just go out and buy Left 4 Dead because I wanted to play it. Like, I knew people who were playing it and I wanted to interact with them, and that was an important part of the community.
Yeah, I think that's a great reason to get involved in something like that. You know, I play Overwatch more when I know friends who are online playing. And I'm hoping that the Switch brings some of that stuff back. All three of us are getting the Switch in the launch window. We all pre-ordered it. So, you know, I'm sure we'll be playing stuff together.
Except you have to keep reminding me when it's coming out, but I am excited for it.
You're still getting it. I mean, John, you're still going to get it, you know, in that first week.
Okay, but it's not launch day.
It's not launch day. You can come over and play mine. We'll play some fast RMX or Redout or whatever they're calling it.
Thanks to the Joy-Cons, we can go over to Derek's house.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, bring yours.
Right.
Bring your Joy-Cons.
Let's talk Switch for a minute, because this comes out on Friday, and we are 1 week away from the launch of the Switch.
Ah, that's how I feel.
And we're still learning new stuff like every single day. I mean, we have this list here of facts about the Switch, new information. I mean, for example, you know, it's been confirmed that Zelda, if you have the physical cartridge, does not require an install. Now,
that's nice.
Yeah. I had guessed that because it's a cartridge, not a disc. But how great is it that you can pop that in and you don't have to install it and you can just play the game?
I mean, that's what I'm going to be doing as soon as I get it.
I mean, I love that, because now I buy a game for the PS4 or the Xbox, and I got to wait an hour for it to install and download day one updates. And, you know, by the time I get ready to play it, my time's up and I got to go do something else.
To be fair, Eric, you buy games months before you have the time to play them. So if you just install them as soon as you buy them, you're ready to go 6 months from now.
at the rate he goes, yes. That's a really good point, Zach.
Look, man, I think I've beat 4 games in 2017 so far. So
that's pretty good.
You're one up on me. I mean, I started Pokemon Moon back when it came out. Like, I went midnight release, and I just now beat the Elite Four last night. So, I mean, I'm a hypocrite to give you shit because I don't want to talk.
Well, I mean, the games I've beat are fairly old games. I mean, I beat Gears of War, like the original Gears of War, and Pokemon Alpha Sapphire, that was one. Super Mario 3D Land for the 3DS, that was another one. So I'm drawing a blank on what the fourth one is now. I've actually been keeping a list.
I think it was Tetris. You beat the original Tetris.
I beat the original, yeah, that's right. I found the kill screen to the original Tetris. I guess maybe it was just the three. Everything else I have on my list was last year, but
well, now you're inflating the numbers.
I'm inflating them.
That's true. I'm just kidding.
I alternative facts.
We play a multiplayer game, so
we do not support alternative facts on the Heroes Podcast Network. If you also do not support alternative facts, check us out at heroespodcast.com. There's my plug.
Hey, guess what? We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
That's true. And sorry. Tumblr and Twitch and Patreon and you name it.
Murder everything.
Your social media. I don't know what
happens. We're everywhere. All right. So let's get through some of the stuff about the Switch real quick. Technically speaking, we now have confirmation from Nintendo France that Bluetooth headsets or headphones are not going to be supported on the Switch, at least not initially. How do you guys feel about that?
I feel like, why did they let France handle that announcement? nothing against France. France is a great country, but I'm like, why is Nintendo France handling that? Like, why isn't it like their global company? Like, the French could handle this annoying piece of news.
Well, they just want us to hate them. Like, you know what I mean? They're shifting the hate. Like, why do we can't hate Japan? Guy. We can't hate America. We gotta hate France.
Oh man, I think you're right.
I appreciate that France gave us a straight answer, because until Nintendo France came out with this, we were under the assumption that it was going to be supported based on some earlier reports. And so to finally have a straight no answer from an official Nintendo source is at least an answer.
Right. They removed the cigarette from their mouth and said, hey, there will be no Bluetooth.
Now, it's not really a big deal for me, because the only Bluetooth headphones I use are when I'm like jogging or something like that. So if I have the Switch in, you know, its mobile mode, handheld mode, I would use headphones. And if I've got it on my TV in TV mode, then I'm using my speakers. So not a huge hit, but I'm a little surprised.
The part that gets me is the whole it's not right now available. Like, so are you saying you're going to build software that can handle it, or it can handle it right now? You just didn't build the software for it? Like, that's what I'm kind of frustrates me.
Well, it could probably be done with a firmware patch. I mean, look at Steam, for example. Sorry, I'm losing my voice.
Really choked up over this Bluetooth.
I know, he gets really passionate.
I just love Bluetooth. Steam recently released support for the PS4 and the Xbox One controllers. You know, that's something that wasn't around before. It wasn't around when those controllers initially came out. You know, you figure those controllers are now, what, 2.5 years old?
Yeah. It took a while, honestly.
You know? So if Nintendo came out with this functionality in 6 months or a year, I mean, they could if they felt the need. I'm not sure it's necessary.
Right.
I just don't see there being a rush of people who have Bluetooth headphones being all mad about that.
Right. I mean, because Bluetooth headphones have the extra hassle of, like, they run low on battery, you have to recharge them. Like, if I just plug in some earbuds while I'm using it in hands-free mode, or if I just use my TV speakers when it's plugged into the TV, like, Bluetooth is not a necessity in this case.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. We do have some new information about the Nintendo accounts, so this is kind of a big deal, and you guys got to make sure you got this figured out. So we have our Nintendo Network IDs. Now there is a user ID that is associated with your Nintendo account, and that user ID is what the Switch is going to leverage. So you have to log in, go to accounts.nintendo.com, and edit your profile and add a user ID before your gamer tag is gone.
It was a pain in the ass, might I add.
Was it? I didn't think it was too bad.
Dude, it was. Zach, didn't you have problems with it too?
I'm actually doing it right now as Derek was explaining this, because I saw the news the other day and I'm like, I don't know what this means. And I was doing something and I'm like, I'll deal with it later. And then Derek brought it up and I'm like, oh shit, I should probably do that because it sounds like a hassle. It sounds really complicated. I'm annoyed.
It's very confusing because you figure, all right, you've got your Nintendo Network ID, you've got your nickname that's associated with that, you have your friend code for your 3DS and the Wii U and the Wii, and now you have a user ID that will be on the Switch. So Nintendo has four different levels of account naming or IDs, and when you compare that to the one on Xbox, and that's all of Xbox. I've had the same gamer tag on Xbox
right.
since my original Xbox. And PlayStation, PS Plus or whatever, you know, I've got one there. Steam, I have one. Blizzard, I have one. So it's a little weird that I think this is their way of starting to consolidate. I think that we'll see the network ID go away, we'll see the nickname go away, and I think that the next major iteration of the handhelds, whether that they're going to call it a DS or whatever, will probably get rid of the friend code too.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But
so for our users at home, or rather for me right now, so you go to this accounts.nintendo.com, and then what happens once you sign in?
So you have to edit your profile, and on your profile page, you'll see different information, including your nickname towards the top, and lower down, there's a section for user ID, and
you're going to have to add.
Yep, yeah, there you go.
So the part that's frustrating for me is every single time I try to put in my information, so I'm at my user info, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so below that user ID, I see. Okay, never mind. I've got it.
That's what you get here on Gamer Heroes. Intense account setup action. Let's as you guys finish that stuff up, I'll talk a little bit about the games for launch. On the negative side of things, officially, Binding of Isaac is not a launch day. It is March 17. The physical version will come with a retro game manual and a reversible cover. If you're one of the first, I think it's 1,000 people to buy it. But it's no longer a launch day game. It's more of launch window. But that's being replaced with two more launch day games. The first is Fast RMX, which may or may not be the same game as Redout. I'm not sure. And it's basically an F-Zero style game. Futuristic racer hover cars, which I'm really stoked about. I love racing games, especially sci-fi ones. My favorite racing game, it probably dates back to Top Gear 3000 on the SNES. As well,
oh,
the first
yeah, that's
games.
A good one.
It was great. You could upgrade your car. You could buy, shields, and you could buy new engine parts and stuff like that.
It was so cutting edge. It's like, you guys probably never play this. Most people didn't play this game, but there was a Hot Wheels racing game that was very similar to that. I loved it. It was for N64 as well.
I had a PC Hot Wheels game, but you like raced on like the actual plastic tracks and stuff.
Right.
I don't remember being able to upgrade.
They gave you power-ups. You would have to drive over them on map.
Oh, okay,
so,
gotcha.
Yeah, so they were there, but you would have to get them. It was pretty cool. Yeah, it was very good. That's so that's part of the appeal for you, would you say? You're feeling nostalgic?
Well, I mean, I like science fiction, and I love F-Zero. I actually competed in an F-Zero tournament for the GameCube version of the game. And so I like that kind of stuff. And so Fast RMX is basically a spiritual successor of F-Zero. So I'm really looking forward to that for sure.
Yeah, it did look good.
The other one is Shovel Knight. And no, it's not just regular Shovel Knight that's already out on various platforms today. This is new content. There's Shovel Knight Torment. I'm drawing a blank now. And it is new campaign. It's a brand new expansion campaign. New stuff to play. And then there's Treasure Trove, which includes everything. It includes all DLC, the original game, the new stuff, all that cool stuff. And that's all day one. So you add those with Zelda Breath of the Wild, I Am Setsuna, 1-2 Switch, Just Dance, Skylanders. So there's some good stuff out there day one.
Yeah, the list is looking a lot more promising. And I'm not saying it wasn't before, but if you actually break down the numbers and analyze how many launch day titles, there's more than both PlayStation and Xbox combined. Believe it or not.
They're just different titles. You know, they're not AAA titles.
And that's fine. Like I said, I guess, would you not consider Zelda a really triple... I consider it quadruple A title, because it's been so long.
For some reason, Nintendo's first-party games, Zelda, Mario, Donkey Kong, you know, etc., haven't been put in that category as triple A. Usually that's, you know, Grand Theft Auto and Battlefield and Call of Duty and Halo and Gears of War. Those are your triple A titles, Titanfall. And I'm not sure that I truly understand how that's differentiated, but
right. What classifies it? Bigger budget? I mean, everything you just mentioned were games that had huge budgets with huge developers behind them.
Yeah, well, they're big production companies like, you know, Rockstar Games, you know, or Ubisoft, or, you know, anybody. EA, exactly. But you know, I'm excited for the list. I think it's pretty solid. The one big disappointment is they have announced that the virtual console, which is different from the eShop. The eShop will be live, but the virtual console will not be available at launch.
Very disappointing. Very.
Yep. It's a real bummer. I was certainly hoping that some of the older games would be available, that they would do something like with the Wii U, where you got a discount for porting them over from your Wii to the Wii U. But, you know, right now there's no date, there's no expectations, there is a virtual console, but it's not out yet. So, I don't know, what do you guys think? Do you think that will hurt the initial sales?
Go ahead, Zach.
I mean, I don't think it's really going to have that much of an effect on the initial sales. I think the hype, and especially with the focus being drawn towards, like, local co-op sort of stuff, I think a lot of people who are going to be buying this console are excited about the local co-op, and they're excited about Zelda Breath of the Wild. And I think, I mean, my little brother, who hasn't bought a video game console ever, like, he bought my old 360 from me when I bought the Xbox One, and that was the extent of it. He's buying the Switch, and he's buying Breath of the Wild with it. So I think we're going to see a lot of that. I mean, if a year from now they still don't have that virtual console up, I think that's going to hurt them. That's going to slow sales down an awful lot. But in the initial burst, I don't think it's going to hurt them too much.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so what else do we have going on, guys?
Well, let's just segue into it. I wanted to talk a little bit, not a little bit, probably a lot, about VR specifically.
Okay.
As you know, people have been raving about it. It's been a thing that's been talked about quite often, and there are actually a few options that are out there. You've got the Vive, the HTC Vive, whatever you want to say, PlayStation VR, the Oculus Rift, the Samsung VR, and then of course the Google Daydream. A lot of them vary from price range and quality. But I want to dive in specifically into PlayStation VR. Do you guys think there's a good value there? Is it worth it? Is the technology there at the $400 price point?
Well, I think that first off, you can't look at it necessarily at it being $400 because
it's one of the cheaper ones of the four very top. I mean, we've got the HTC Vive, the Oculus Rift, and then the Samsung VR, which is considered one of the better ones. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, so Samsung VR and Google Daydream kind of have to be put in a separate category because they run off of phones.
Right.
And yeah, there's a certain expectation there. But PlayStation VR is the cheapest of the big three, the Vive, the Rift, and PlayStation. It's cheap if you own a PlayStation 4. If you don't own a PlayStation 4, then it's still an $800 price tag. You know, so if you want VR and you don't have a PS4, then it's a much harder question because the HTC Vive and the Oculus Rift are dedicated VR products, whereas...
No, I was going to say, but they require a PC to run them that can handle that type of system. So it ends up turning that HTC Vive, which is $799, into...
Is it really Vive? I thought it was Vive.
Vive, Vive, I don't know. Tomato, tomato. But you're turning something that's $800.
Is it GIF or GIF?
It's GIF? It is GIF.
Okay, good.
On this podcast, it is GIF.
Nope, it's just GIF.
We're not savages, goddammit.
Well, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to call it Vive. So, screw you.
I'm not familiar with the Vive. Who makes that one?
Hutk makes it.
Yeah. Sounds like, you know, a Vizio or an Insignia product.
Okay, fine. The Vive... is $800 and you need a PC to run that, so you're easily looking at $2,000. Easily.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. The other side of that is if you invest money into the PlayStation VR, yeah, half that money has to go toward a PlayStation, but guess what you can also do with that PlayStation? You can play all their other games. So the real question comes down to how... do you want that experience to be? Because the Vive and the Rift have more advanced technology available to make it a more immersive experience, whereas PlayStation VR really just uses the PlayStation's controllers.
And that's the disappointing part about it is it uses the, you know, when they kind of had their competition Wii thing, PlayStation did, they initially introduced it in the PlayStation 3 and I fell into the gimmicky and I bought it and it's really cool, but it's very difficult to do on high-end games. So my point is, though, is they still rely on the about camera.
Are you talking about the sight thing that had the little remotes with the ball at the end that changed colors?
Yes, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about those. Jeez.
I bought those and... The premier game for that was the Killzone 4, and although it was fun, it was very, very difficult to play because it's a fast-paced game, first-person shooter, with those things. Very, very hard to do it. And the camera wasn't always accurate. So what's upsetting to me is, not upsetting, I guess I should say, in contrast, where I don't think the quality level is quite there yet, which is why the price tag is very consumer-friendly. For entry-level VR, that is it's relying on this one single camera again. Whereas the HTC Vive has multiple camera vantage points, and it's not relying on a color for infrared to see your movement. You know what? That's what they initially did was...
Right.
It was watching the ball
color. No, I think you make a really good point, but it's important to keep in mind that the PlayStation VR is also just a lot easier to set up. I mean, anybody can plug in their PlayStation and play PlayStation VR. The Vive requires a pretty sophisticated setup, a very specific room size, that kind of thing.
But again, like you said, it's all about the quality and the experience that you really want to go for. What I will say, though, is the PlayStation, as being a Sony product and they're kind of a big company, they can produce more games and better games. Like, for instance, they have the Batman VR, which is super cool. They're doing Battlefront. They have... what's another big one? They've produced their own set of games that come with the PlayStation VR or available for download on those. They've got,
I mean, one of the big titles was the Star Trek Bridge Simulator, but that's been delayed a couple of times.
That was one of them.
But the Vive, on the other hand, leverages the Steam library, and so I think its library is probably larger.
Oh, yeah. Much more vast. I guess I just don't know how well those work, though, because those are adapted games, whereas these were produced and created for VR.
It's a fair point.
So,
well, so
one of the best VR games out there. Sorry, man, I didn't mean to step on your toes there.
No, you're good. Let's talk for a second about, like, just from our own personal perspectives, what do you want from VR?
Get it, Zach, get it.
Big question.
And if the answer is nothing, that's fine.
I mean, I have minimal expectations for VR. I mean, when I think VR, I think of playing the demo for the Virtual Boy at the Blockbuster near my house when I was a kid. So I'm easy to please. And even like all these commercials, these VR commercials for the Samsung thing, like you see a lot of people like looking like they're having a good time, but I mean, that's... You don't. I don't know what that experience is like, and I mean, I don't know. Like, I love my 3DS, but I almost never turn the 3D feature on. So, I mean, virtual reality for me is. I mean, it sounds like a cool idea, and I respect the technology that goes into making that happen. But it's not a thing that I care a great deal about personally.
I'm gonna pick on you, Zach.
Do it. Go
so
for it.
So you obviously like Pokemon Go, so do you care more about augmented reality than you do VR?
No, not at all. In fact, I've got the augmented reality feature off. Like, it was cool for the first couple days, and then I realized, like, oh, every time my phone moves, like, I'm gonna, like, throw a Pokeball and miss.
Right?
Whereas, yeah, with just, like, the regular, you know, standard features on there, like... I mean, yeah, it's cool, like, oh, look, there's a Snorlax behind you. Like, that's cool. But then 3 days in, you're like, this is annoying.
Well, that and I feel like...
Yeah, and I'm kind of the same way. I never used the 3D on my 3DS, except the first time I'm playing a game, I'll turn it on just to see what it looks like. And then I'll shut it off almost immediately. And I do not use the AR on Pokemon Go at all. But... So I think I'm kind of on the same page as Zach. My memories are absolutely Virtual Boy at Blockbuster with Mario Tennis in the red lines and black background, you know, and that was it. That was VR for me. And now it's better in some ways, obviously, because we have full color, beautiful HD graphics. But some of these, like the Samsung VR and the Google Daydream, don't even really have like controllers. They're just kind of there for you to look around.
Right.
You know, that's kind of where I think the Vive is really going to do well, is it has all of this stuff that you can get for it. The same with the Oculus Rift. The Rift has these really cool things called, they just call it Touch. And they're these little loop controllers that go over your thumb, and basically there's you know, a button for your index finger as like a trigger, and then little joysticks for your thumbs, and it allows you to manipulate objects in virtual reality. So, like, you know, if you go to their website, they actually have like little examples of this stuff, and they show like your VR hand is holding a cube, and as you twist your real hand holding the Touch, it interacts with the virtual reality one, and your hand in VR moves. That's virtual reality. That's different for me. That's what really is going to get my attention, is can I interact with that universe in a more natural way? you know, there's a company, I'm drawing a blank on who's working on these boots that you would wear so you can physically walk through VR to move rather than using like joysticks to make your sprite walk or whatever.
Right.
That's what I'm waiting for, you know, like the Star Trek holodeck program where I'm in this reality.
Yeah.
You know, because all it really seems like is that it's either nature, scenery, nature stuff, which is pretty, but not video games, or it's just some first-person game that they have put closer to my face.
It's the movement for me, too. I totally agree with that point. It's the movement for me. Like, I feel like the Vive gives you a little more freedom because they do have multiple vantage points and sensors, so it is a whole 360 immersive. So if you were to walk around, it would pick up some of your movement like that. But yeah, I'm totally with you. Like at this point, still using a controller to move around it's kind of taking me out of that experience. You know, I see what's in development, and they've developed this VR treadmill type thing.
Yes.
And I think that would be optimal, to be honest with you. Because then at that point, you're in a circular treadmill, right? And you can physically walk and move around in the game. And that, to me, would make more sense. So it's just... So bottom line, let me ask you guys this. I know I'm switching it again, but bottom line, do you think VR is at a point where it's definitely not consumer-friendly yet? And that's what HTC Vive has talked about. At least Oculus Rift has mentioned bringing their price down here within the next year or two to make it more consumer friendly and be competitive, because they've reached the quality they feel is up to par, but now they've needed to make it more available for people. So do you think it's at the point where this kind of cost is worth it? Or, I mean, what do you guys think about that? Is it gimmicky or not, I guess?
I'm gonna let Zach hit that one first.
Is it what or not? What was your question?
I said, basically, do you think it's at the point where the quality is meeting the price and it's not gimmicky?
Right. No, I mean, I think it still is very gimmicky. I mean, even, like, you look at 3D or I look at 3D the same way, like in movies. Like, there are some movies that utilize it well, and there are other movies that just throw stuff at your face because they can, as opposed to immersing you in the film. I think we're getting there. I think it's improving. I think the Samsung VR situation there, like, I think it's more accessible and people are checking it out more, and it's becoming more affordable for the and worthwhile, but it's still not there yet, and you've got a lot of people that are doing well with it and people who are just kind of playing with the gimmick. I would like to see it doing more. I would like to see it being used in more practical situations, like teleconferences, like, you know, from a professional standpoint. Like, it'd be nice if you could enter a VR room and, like, interact with people on that front, as opposed to just, like, having these awkward conversations where you kind of interrupt each other and talk over each other because you don't know what's going on. I would like to see, I would like to see more functionality. And I think right now it's like, oh, cool. Like, there's a thing that we can do, but it's not yet being used to its full potential, and it's not widely accepted enough to be, 100%, affordable for most audiences.
Yeah, I would echo a lot of that. I think that, to your point about the conference thing, there are some industries, especially, what's the word I'm looking for? A lot of, like, home improvement and supply chain companies are using augmented reality, not virtual reality, augmented reality, to better show customers and employees what things will look like a certain way or where things are located. And I think the trick here is that VR came out first, right? VR was something that, in the form that we understand, came out in like 1960, and Sega and Nintendo tried it in the early mid 90s. But augmented reality is the next is really the next logical step from a technical standpoint. You know, there was Google Goggles was an app that was a thing before Google Glasses were a thing. You know, the idea of being able to see hotspot locations, you know, what stores are nearby, what's their Yelp review, what's the temperature like, and, you know, did I just get a notification or a text message? What is it? Who is it? Does it matter? That type of information is more consumer friendly and professionally friendly because it's information we all want to have. I love the idea of the Google Glasses having a heads-up display for map routes. So if I was walking around a city I didn't know or driving or something like that, rather than looking down at my dashboard at my map, I would be able to just look straight at the road and see where I was supposed to go. I'd like to see that used more. You know, aspects of the game. I feel like that's something Nintendo has really tried to do with the starting with the Wii by having motion controls, making it more AR rather than VR. I want to interact with my video games. I want to feel more a part of the adventure, a part of the story, and just putting the screen closer to my face or making it 3D to Zach's point about just, you know, throwing stuff at me. I mean, I think it's Monsters vs. Aliens is the movie, and like the opening scene, there's a giant hamburger and a guy like, oh, let me get my hamburger, and reaches towards the screen to grab it. Like, it's just so gimmicky.
Yeah.
But you have movies that do it well, right? You know, you have Tron Legacy, their handling of 3D was a pretty good example.
The Harold and Kumar Very Christmas was amazing.
Well, they were making fun of it on purpose, though.
But it was so good, though. I don't care. I still stand by it.
But it's great because it's satire. And I think it really nailed it that things like 3D and VR are used more for gimmicks and to make money than they are to expand the experience. And I want to expand the experience. So bring me into the game. I want that treadmill that you're talking about. I want holodecks. I want augmented reality. I want things that enhance the experience and don't just make the screen look bigger.
Oh, my hoverboard. Oh, wait, different topic.
We're still waiting on those. Which they do exist. There is a magnetic skate park out there.
Yes.
But I mean, that's not enough for me. I need to be able to go down the road. I want to go down Shawnee Mission with this, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, John, you're talking about price, and I think it's important because if you look at the Rift, if you want the Rift with the touch controls, which you really want, that's $800 plus the computer.
Right.
Right. You know, the Vive really isn't any cheaper, and it has various accessories as well that you can get. The PlayStation gets a little bit cheaper because it's really $800 with the console, so you don't need the computer. And then you get to the really cheap headset stuff that requires a phone, like Samsung VR and Google Daydream, that come for free if you buy the right phone at the right time. So I think that right now it's either so cheap that it's nothing but gimmick, like those phone-supported ones, or it's more legitimate but not really ready yet and very expensive.
That's exactly how I put it. How I would have put it is we're not there. I just don't think we're there. And I'll give you an example is Resident Evil 7. They produced a game which was designed specifically for VR, but the funny part was when people played the game without VR, it didn't hinder their experience whatsoever. So my point is, if you design a game for VR but it's still enjoyable without VR, why do I need VR? You know?
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this. Since we talked about the Switch utilizing the hand controls, and they now have HD rumbles, which is something I'm curious to test the limits on. How far off is the Switch from being VR? And will they utilize it right? I mean, can you think about good VR on the go like that, utilizing real rumble technology anywhere? Think about that.
I don't expect to see it for the Switch, mainly because of the hardware. The Switch is a very different console from the Xbox One and the PS4. And, you know, Microsoft still doesn't really have HoloLens out in any consumer format. And the PlayStation VR is in its early stages. I really think that the Switch's hardware is not going to be able to support the requirements of VR technology. You need very high-end graphics, you need a lot of RAM and processing power to pull that off, and the Switch is designed to give you a compact experience that you can take with you. I don't see that working well. The only way that's going to happen is if they somehow incorporate the tablet device like Samsung and Google do the phones. But again, that's low-end VR, and I doubt that's something Nintendo is going to put a lot into. I think they're going to spend more time on the augmented stuff, like the HD Rumble.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. I feel like they don't need to use VR. Although it would be nice, it's just not... Again, it's just not a necessity, and I don't think gamers are going that direction. And I'm not dissing people who want to. I am wanting to dabble, and I'm curious about it, but I just don't think it's at a point where it's value to me.
It's not a thing that we need. There's no value added to the gaming experience.
Definitely.
The way they're using it.
Yeah. If I can play Resident Evil 7 and still have the same experience, why the hell do I need VR? You know?
Yeah.
So... Yeah, no, I think that's a good... Shut it down!
No, I think we're probably all on the same page there. You know, video games are constantly trying to push the envelope and, you know, explain why the next generation is better. And right now, we're at a point where the gap between the PS3, the Xbox 360 is not as big as, you know, they used to be. Right now we've got the Xbox One and the S and the PS4 and the PS4 Pro. And then you have the Project Scorpio that's on the way out around holidays, theoretically. None of these things do anything amazing, right? They add some 4K support, but not true video game 4K support.
Right.
They add some better graphics, but... You know, if you don't have a 4K TV like most of the people in the world, are you going to notice the difference between a game on the Xbox One and the Xbox One S?
No way. What do they do?
The 3DS and the 3DS XL, like, I mean, these like micro transaction upgrades that most people don't notice or care about.
It's true, though. You know, there's really minor differences, and they say, "Oh, well, this game, like Crash Bandicoot, is going to be optimized for the PS4 Pro." Okay, like, what is that adding to it? If I put those two next to each other, am I going to notice a difference? And so they have to come up with something. And what is that? In this case, it's VR, because VR is something that the old generations of consoles could not do. You know, you could not have put PlayStation VR or HoloLens on the Xbox 360 or the PS3. It would not have worked. But now they can do it. And so that's the big thing for this generation. And, you know, Nintendo's going their own route like they tend to do. And we're going to see smaller incremental changes between console generations. So this other stuff has to get people coming back for more. But that's just my take. Yeah.
No, well said, man.
No, I agree.
I think, though, that's probably... I mean, do you guys have anything else to add?
No.
No. I'm good. I think you nailed it.
That was a good point.
All right. Well, then, we're kind of at our hour mark, so I think this is probably a good time to start closing up shop. Zach, you know, welcome to the party, man.
Thanks. Yeah, this is great. Glad you guys have me on. Looking forward to more of this.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about next week, but the following week will be our Nintendo Switch first impressions. So that'll be exciting. And I do want to say that if you're listening to us, go out to iTunes and drop us a review, because we are going to give away a free Steam game to the first person that leaves us a review out there.
What?
And if somebody beats you to it, I promise we will hold a contest later down the road to do more stuff with this. So go out and leave us a review on iTunes so people can find us. In the meantime, go to heroespodcasts.com or hit us up at heroespodcasts on the social media. We are part of the Heroes Podcast Network. And you can also catch our sister show, Screen Heroes, which comes out every Wednesday and records live on Twitch on Tuesday nights. Anything else you guys want to add?
No, man. I'm stoked. For the Switch. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to play some games, man. One, two, switch it up.
When does that come out again, Derek?
It's next week, Zach. It's next week.
I don't think we're going to make it. I think we need to freeze ourselves so that the week will
I need to cryogenically freeze myself today so that I am prepared. My body needs to be prepared for the Switch.
Just don't stay frozen too long. You know, you'll have to deal with the talking otters.
And that was for a Nintendo Wii, man. It was topical.
It was. I'm actually doing a whole rewatch of South Park because I've never watched it like straight through. And so I'm in season 12 right now. So yeah, just watched something boobage, the one that's the
major
the heavy
boobage
metal.
With the cat piss.
That's it.
With the cat piss.
Yeah, it's the heavy metal episode. It's spot on. Like heavy metal is a bad movie, but Heavy Metal 2000 is actually pretty awesome. So,
how are you guys watching this current season? Because I mean, I'm behind on South Park, but I keep hearing it's awesome now, and I just don't know how to watch it without buying cable.
The current season was good because it's very topical on Trump and all that fun stuff.
Right.
And ads.
Fun.
But, I think they had a little between 14, 15, they were kind of just going downhill, and they picked it back up being really topical this most recent season. So it's definitely worth picking up again if you put it down.
It's on Hulu.
They
put it all up on Hulu, so I've been watching all of it on Hulu. So,
I do have Hulu. Okay.
Yeah,
I just thought that was funny
that
to say since he froze himself for the Wii.
No, totally. That's awesome. I mean, absolutely one of my favorite episodes is Make Love Not Warcraft.
Yes.
Where it's their WoW characters. It's just so great. So
our children are in there. So many people stand to lose their character.
So many characters. Alright guys, thanks for tuning in. We love your support. Thank you so much. We'll catch you guys next week. Bye everybody.
One.